From NPR News, it's Day to Day. It's the second week of testimony in the trial of Lewis Scooter Libby. He is Vice President Dick Cheney's former chief of staff, now charged with perjury and obstruction of justice. NPR's Ari Shapiro brings us up to date.
Lewis Scooter Libby is accused of lying to obstruct a federal investigation into the leak of CIA agent Valerie Plame's identity. Libby swore under oath to a grand jury that he learned Plame's identity from reporters. But in the last week, a string of former and current government officials has contradicted Libby's version of events. They testified that information about Valerie Plame flowed from Libby to reporters, not the other way around. Their narrative has pulled back the curtain on how the White House mobilized to rebut a prominent critic of the Bush administration's Iraq war intelligence. That critic was Plame's husband, former Ambassador Joseph Wilson. Wilson went to Africa looking for evidence that Iraq sought uranium from Niger to make nuclear weapons. He found no such evidence, and when President Bush continued to claim that the link existed, Wilson went public. The government's first witness was former State Department employee Mark Grossman. He said Libby wanted to know about Ambassador Wilson, and Grossman said he was the first to tell Libby that Wilson's wife worked for the CIA. Then former CIA employee Robert Grenier took the stand. He said Libby called him directly to ask about Wilson. Libby was so intent on learning more that he pulled Grenier out of a meeting 3 hours later to see what he'd learned. Grenier also testified that he told Libby Valerie Plame worked for the CIA. A third CIA employee gave a similar account. According to the testimony, all of these interactions took place weeks before Libby claims to have learned Plame's identity from reporters. With each of the witnesses, defense lawyers went straight to the issue of memory. They claimed that if Libby made false statements, they were innocent memory lapses, not lies. And defense lawyers found holes in each witness's account. For example, former CIA employee Grenier first told investigators in a grand jury that he didn't remember talking with Libby about Plame. It was only in Grenier's second grand jury appearance, a year and a half later, that he changed his account and said he told Libby Plame's identity. With a totally straight face, defense attorney Bill Jeffress asked Grenier, "Do you find that your memory gets better the further away from an event you are?" Last week ended, and this week began, with Kathy Martin. She was Vice President Cheney's spokeswoman in 2003, and her testimony shined a light into the inner workings of the vice president's office in crisis. She said Cheney was angry that his office was being accused of sending Wilson to Niger and covering up the findings. Martin said, "Few of us in the White House had had any hands-on experience with a major crisis like this." Libby had that experience. So the vice president deployed his chief of staff to manage the story. And according to the government's narrative, that's when Libby leaked Plame's identity to reporters. Of course, Libby's not charged with the actual leak. He's charged with the cover-up. One defense strategy is to argue that Libby was so consumed with other crises at the same time that the sequence of events in the Plame affair could easily have slipped his mind when he testified under oath months later. Martin's testimony undercut that argument by portraying the vice president's office as obsessed with controlling the story and placing Libby at the center of the effort. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.